episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
And what do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour. This hour's sponsor is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape is everything John Deere. You want a tractor, you want a mower, you want implements, you want parts, service, they got it all. Go up and see them. They're 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And they also have these really cool little handheld chainsaws.
Oh, yeah.
Steel, right?
Handiest pruning gadget you ever used.
Yeah, so while you're cutting all your crepe myrtles and all that stuff and you're using your ratchet pruner and your hands feel like they're going to fall off, you'd run down there and get one of those little, it's like a, what, 4-inch little?
I think it's got like a 6-inch chainsaw on it. Yeah.
It's like a little chainsaw you can hold in one hand.
Yeah.
Spectacular tool.
Zippity-doo-dah with that thing.
Huh? You'll cut things that you didn't even want to cut just so you can cut more stuff. Oh, maybe that's just me.
Yeah, it's easy to over-prune with one of those.
That just might be me. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So what do we got going on today?
Okay, so today we are chatting with Bruce Sackman, who is on the phone. I was just, I was doing the universal signal of, he's on the phone, right? Tyler gave me the thumbs up, so we're good. Boy, I tell you, just full disclosure, we tried to do this a few weeks ago, and then Mr. Sackman was traveling, and then we tried to do it again, but it was Thanksgiving weekend, and we had no engineer. So this is the third try. And it is the third, and it's 3 o'clock where he lives.
It's the charm.
So you know what? It was the triple three. We were definitely going to make this happen. Because when we spoke with him, we've done a couple of shows with him. He has a website called BehindTheMurderCurtain.com. So just in case you've been listening to politics all morning and you're thinking, oh, please, somebody talk about something besides, like, the Hamas war or George Santos or, like, whatever other, you know, and they're all important, but good grief. It just, after a while, every time you turn the channel, it's the same thing. So we thought we would help you. Mr. Sackman served as a special agent in charge for the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs in the Office of the Inspector General. He was in the Criminal Investigations Division in the Northeast Field Office until May 2005, when he retired after 32 years of service. In that capacity, he was responsible for all major criminal investigations involving VA from West Virginia to Maine. During his tenure, he was involved in hundreds of investigations involving allegations of fraud, corruption, false claims, thefts, patient assaults, pharmaceutical drug diversions, and suspicious hospital deaths, which is where those other shows came in. He was also responsible for supervising the successful investigation of the nation's first homicide conviction in connection with pharmaceutical research. His cases involving medical professionals who have murdered their patients have been featured on the Discovery Health Channel, CNN, MSNBC, America's Most Wanted, and on HBO. He's the recipient of many awards for his investigations and for his efforts in encouraging the profession of forensic nursing. Mr. Sackman has lectured at several forensic-related conferences, state police organizations, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, universities, and medical-related symposia. He's the author of the book, Behind the Murder Curtain. Special Agent Bruce Sackman hunts doctors and nurses who kill our veterans, and the article, When the ICU Becomes a Crime Scene, for Critical Care Nursing Quarterly. And the first couple of shows, did I link them correctly? I did not. I will put them on the page. So today is December the 3rd, 2023. And I will attach those other two shows so you can find them quickly. Otherwise, you can just go to the archive. But today's show, we called it The Role of Hospital Management in Covering for Criminal Physicians and Nurses. Because he's got like a long history there. First one was a medical serial killer, just to do a little spoiler alert. And the guy he was chasing had a terrific name. I'm not even going to do it because Robert just got here and he'll become convulsed laughing. He can't handle it when we talk about 00 Swango. Best name for a killer ever. Terrible person, but funny name. Mr. Sackman, how the heck is Florida treating you right now? Probably sunnier than it is here. Uh-oh. Seeing the cone of silence?
I think we might have lost him, so let's try to call him back.
Oh, my God. I did the longest introduction in the universe.
And then he's not even there, so I'll try to get him back on the line.
Yeah.
Guys.
So much for my third show on the third. The three
See,
o'clock.
That you jinxed it, man.
I did.
All right, I'll call him back. I'll call him
Please
back.
Please do. All Speedy. Right. I'll tell you more about the book then. Behind the Murder Curtains, the true story of Bruce Sackman, special agent in charge of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Main responsibilities were investigating white-collar crimes, such as embezzlement, when he was drawn into a macabre world of doctors and nurses who murder their patients. He evolved from an investigator of routine cases to the world's leading expert on medical serial killers. And I don't know. Who the heck knows anything about medical serial killers? I mean, we had never really heard about that. But I have a friend in Philadelphia who's a whistleblower with VA. She actually works for VA, but she's a concurrent whistleblower, it seems like, forever. And she had said, oh, you got to interview this guy. So, super interesting shows.
Yeah, it happens a lot more than you think.
It looks like we got Mr. Bruce back on the line.
Mr. Sackman. Well, I was doing the longest intro known to man, and then we somehow got... I don't know. Disconnected. Welcome back.
He's on the line.
Are the words welcome back the problem?
I do not know.
Hi, how's it going? Is that better? No, not better. Still not netting any result there. Classic. Classic. So, Robert, how's it been going with you? Bill, anything to add? Do I have to hum the Jeopardy song again?
Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer.
Bill gets the One Trick Pony Award. You know, that's why live radio is so much fun. Like, people do all these podcasts where they pre-record. Maybe those are live, too. I don't know. Okay, I don't know anything about podcasts. I should just stop talking.
Guess what? This is the third time. I think this is the charm.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yes.
All right. Bruce, are you there?
There we go. See, your three's worked.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot of phone line between here and Florida.
Third show on the third at 3 o'clock. Three times we called him. Wow. What else? Oh, my gosh. So, Mr. Sackman, how's the world treating you?
It's treating me pretty well.
Oh, that long pause there had me going. Well. Every time I asked you that before you were disconnected, I'm like, oh, God, I should stop asking that question. It's me. I'm doing it.
Oh, no, everything is fine. Everything's great. Thank you. And I hope everything's well with you and your family as well.
Yeah. We all survived Thanksgiving. I think... you know, everybody kind of looks forward to that, and then it shows up, and there's it's kind of a rat race, and then it's over, and it's like, oh, now it's all about Bill obsessing about putting up lights.
No,
yeah.
Not.
Yeah, he wants to make another trip to Home Depot. Just spoiler alert.
I've gone to therapy for that.
Home Depot, Bill's coming back.
No.
I'm like, he's hooked on Christmas trees and wreaths this year. Used to be lights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'd have like 30,000 lights. It looked like the Walmart distribution center out in our front yard. I mean, you could see it from space. I'm positive you could. We had an 8-foot star, 6-foot star?
It was 6 foot. It was just a little one.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't 8. It was 6. Way up in an oak tree that you could see from about a mile out till a huge storm came, ripped the top of the tree off. That was the end of that. Oh, my gosh. Well, all right. So that's the moment of levity. Now we move directly into murder. I guess that's all the fun we're going to have. So I was kind of, you know, in the... during the disconnection era areas, I was going through the longer version of your bio and talking about all these investigations and how you were really the first person to discover this idea of medical serial killers. And so when I asked you about doing a different show, and you know, another one on another topic, and you said the role of hospital management covering for criminal physicians and nurses, is this stuff you learned after or before? like the medical serial killer part, or was it all part and parcel?
I would say during and after, because it hasn't ended. I mean, I'm going to talk about some cases that were recently in the news.
Oh, all right.
Some terrible, terrible situations, not involving murder, but involving sexual assault, and the role of management in covering up physicians who were criminally prosecuted for this. And the number of victims is just horrendous. The role of the medical management was just terrible, and we'll talk about that in great detail today.
All right. Well, you take it away with wherever you would like to start, and we'll just follow along over here.
All right. Whenever you're ready.
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and I'm very happy to be here. And unfortunately, after, well, some 30 years of being involved in cases where doctors and nurses have murdered their patients, I regret to say that these cases are still ongoing right now as we speak, and that apparently we haven't really learned enough on how to stop these cases. And perhaps more depressing is that the role of management in covering up these cases, whether it be medical serial killers or really bad physicians, has not really changed at all. And there are some very, very recent cases, some of them just incredible to even speak about, where management has continued to cover for the physician or for the nurse that was eventually convicted of either murdering or sexually assaulting a number of patients. And perhaps you've heard about the horrendous case at Columbia Hospital in New York City. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Columbia Presbyterian. It is one of the most prestigious hospitals in the country. I mean, it's really an outstanding hospital. In fact, when the president is in town, God forbid, if he should take ill or something terrible should happen, they would bring him to Columbia Presbyterian. So that's how good that hospital is. And in that hospital, there was an OBGYN by the name of Dr. Hodden, H-A-D-D-E-N. Now, Dr. Hodden was an OBGYN for about 20 years. And he sexually assaulted a number of patients. Well, what is the number of patients? Are we talking about 1, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 50,
oh my God.
100, 150, 200? How about 245?
Wow.
245 patients were sexually assaulted by Dr. Hatton over a period of 20 years. So how did this all begin? Well, one of his patients was on the examining table, and she realized that Dr. Hodden had extended his tongue into her vagina, and that really freaked her out, as you could imagine.
Yeah, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
You know, so she went home, and she told her boyfriend, and they went to the police, and the police arrested Dr. Hodden. They did a good job. They arrested Dr. Hodden on a Friday. On Monday, he was back in the office seeing patients. What?
Yeah, no kidding.
He was back in the office seeing patients. You see, for the hospital management, Dr. Hannon was a very popular doctor. I mean, he had thousands and thousands of patients. He brought in a lot of money to the hospital. And look, after all, these are only allegations, you know, from one patient. But when you go into the files of Columbia, you see that they had actually had other patients come forward by letter, but they just kind of filed that away. They put that away. They kind of forgot about it, okay? And now they had the situation where Dr. Hannon's actually arrested in his office in front of the patients. Well, that didn't stop them from bringing him back in on the following Monday.
No, but they had
they had this great idea. You see, they had this great idea. They sent him a letter and they said, look, you know, doctor, because of these allegations, you could continue practice, but we want to have a chaperone, you know, somebody else in the examining room with you. Well, sometimes that other person in the examining room had to walk out. You know, they had to go to the bathroom. They had something else to do.
And they couldn't put the Hannibal Lecter mask on him or anything?
Yeah. And guess what happened? He sexually assaulted a patient the first day he returned to work after being arrested by the NYPD.
Oh, my God. I guess that's what you call a truly habitual offender. All right, Bruce, hold on five seconds on that heinous note. We have to take a really quick break.
Of course.
Hopefully the commercials are cheerful. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Yeah, gosh, I haven't heard that song in a while, but, you know, are you crazy or are you high? That's probably what the management was wondering. It's got to be what the patients were wondering. All right, so Bruce, back to Dr.
H-A-D-D-E-N.
Yeah, sorry, I had a whole different name that I felt was probably inappropriate for me to blurt out.
So when the NYPD did their investigation and sent out subpoenas and all, do you think the hospital was forthcoming? Well, do you think the hospital was fighting them tooth and nail? I'll give you two guesses.
Okay.
All right. In fact, the hospital never disclosed that prior to this arrest, and this one woman that had the courage to come forward to the NYPD, that they had heard about this before. They had received correspondence about him before, but they did absolutely nothing.
Oh, my God.
So finally, the New York City District Attorney's Office enters into a plea agreement with Dr. Haddon, and for no jail time. But he has to give up his practice. And do you think that the hospital notified all of his patients, which is, by the way, 6,500 patients over 20 years?
Whoa.
Do you think they sent something out notifying them about what happened, being forthright? Nope. Not a word. No word at all. Well, you know, what happened is that the victims, they got attorneys, and many, many civil suits were filed. And it cost the hospital hundreds of millions of dollars in civil settlements. But did any of the managers actually lose their job? Well, the president of the institution retired. But did any of the managers, anybody involved in covering this up, in not assisting the NYPD, in not helping the victims, were any of them prosecuted? Did any of them lose their jobs? Nope. So what kind of incentive does that give managers out there when situations like this arise? Okay? I mean, we all heard about that Dr. Larry Nassar. Remember him when all the gymnasts that he sexually assaulted? Oh, Dr. Nassar went to prison.
Yeah.
But did anybody in any of the organizations that knew what was going on, that covered up, that didn't cooperate, were any of them prosecuted? No. And let's talk about our medical serial killers, okay? Lucy Letby. She was in the news a lot, just to remind people. She was a nurse in England that murdered a number of newborn babies. Remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was something else, that one. She actually was convicted on 8 counts of murder and 10 counts of attempted murder of newborns. And whistleblowers went to management, and they told management of their suspicions. And management turned around and said, no, we disagree. In fact, we are ordering you to go apologize to Lucy Letby for even making these allegations against her. Yeah. So they were actually ordered to apologize for making allegations against this nurse who was eventually convicted of murdering a number of patients. You know, there's this whole thing where we'll let the person keep working, but maybe we'll assign somebody to them. That never works. There was a case at a VA hospital in Columbia, Missouri, of Richard Williams. He was a nurse, allegedly killed a number of our nation's heroes. And a number of brave whistleblowers came forward to management, and they said, you know, we believe, and they laid out their case, why they thought Richard Williams was murdering patients. Murdering patients. And management said, well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to assign another nurse to work with Richard Williams. And when that other nurse was with Richard Williams, yeah, nobody died. But when that nurse had to take a day off, had to run out, had to do something, guess what happened? That's when patients died. Unexpectedly. Now, I'm unaware of any successful prosecution, criminal prosecution, of any hospital manager anywhere for aiding and abetting, whether it be these murders or these sexual assaults. Now, it was tried. It was tried in Germany. In Germany, there was a medical serial killer, a nurse by the name of Niles Hogel. Niles Hogel killed so many people he can't even remember. You know, he admitted to killing over 100 patients. But the German police think he killed closer to about 300 patients. You know, he killed so many people. Hey, you can't expect them to remember. He killed so many people, you know, you can't expect them to remember.
Jeez.
So the German prosecutors, they actually charged managers in the hospital with aiding and abetting the murders. Why? Because this is what happened, and this has happened all over the country. And I'll speak about a few other cases here in the United States where it's happened. You see, when Niles Hogel worked in Hospital 1, they suspected something. Sometimes they did a pretty good internal investigation. And they were pretty sure that Niles Hogel was responsible for the death of patients. But you know what? Niles Hogel left. He found the job somewhere else. Well, Hospital 1 said, that's enough for us. We don't have to call the police. We don't have to do anything. Niles Hogel is out of our hair. And then he goes to Hospital 2, and the same thing happens. And in Hospital 3, the same thing happens. All right. So if you're in management and you conduct an internal investigation and you have more than reasonable suspicion that a medical professional is harming patients, whether it be murder or assault, whatever, and you say nothing and do nothing and allow this person to go on to the next facility and kill, shouldn't you be charged with a crime?
They
tried it in Germany.
Twice.
They tried it in Germany, and it did not work.
Wow.
And probably one of the most famous cases here in the United States is the case of a fellow named Cullen, Nurse Cullen. You know, there was a show on TV called The Good Nurse, and there's actually a book by that name. It's an excellent book, by the way. And Charles Cullen was a nurse that murdered patients, and he started out in Pennsylvania, and he wound up in Jersey. And when Hospital 1 suspected something, they never said anything to Hospital 2. They never said anything to Hospital 3. never said anything to hospital four, and never said anything to hospital five, or six, or seven, or eight, or nine. Finally, hospital 10, a brave whistleblower came forward and said something. All right. But did anything happen to any of these managers in any of these facilities? No. Nothing happened at all. Oh, yeah. Sometimes the hospital gets fined, but that doesn't come out of the manager's pocket. The hospitals are never charged criminally, and certainly the managers are never charged criminally. So what kind of incentive, if you're a manager, your financial incentive is to do everything you can, in your opinion anyway, to hide these issues to what you think is protecting the reputation of the hospital? That's your number one concern. Not about the patients.
Not the patients.
not the victims. Oh, no, not at all. Your number one responsibility, especially if you want to keep your job, your number one responsibility is to the bottom line of the hospital. You know, there was a hospital in New Jersey many years ago where one doctor was murdering the patients of another doctor. He wanted to eliminate the competition. Well, this was a big trial.
You're short on sick
people. It lasted for a long time. And you know what? That hospital eventually had to go out of business. They changed their name three times, and they still had to go out of business. So you know what, nurse whistleblower or doctor whistleblower? Do you want that to happen in our hospital? Do you want everybody here to lose our job? Do you want the hospital to close? Look, this nurse, this doctor went on to another hospital. Just be quiet. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Nothing's going to happen to you for not saying anything. Nothing at all.
Except to go to hell, but, you know, that's later, so I guess why worry about that?
Exactly. Mm. So, you know what? It's very interesting when we talk about how all these cases are developed. Of course, the case with Dr. Hannon came about from the patients, these poor ladies, and there are so many, and we don't even know if 250 is the final number. Who the hell knows? I mean, he saw 6,500 patients. Why did he only sexually assault 250? We don't even know what the bottom line is. But one thing we know that the hospital management covered it up.
How do you, I mean, honestly, how do you rationalize that, that you covered up that many criminal acts? I mean, at some point, I don't know, we don't have much, you know, newspaper type, you know, investigative reporting, but didn't somebody get a hold of that and publicize it?
Yeah, actually they did. And ProPublica published a lot of that, and eventually all the other newspapers picked up on it. But how many victims do we have to have before something happens, all right?
Yeah, because one was enough for all of us. Here, we just took a survey. There's four of us. We all decided, yeah, one was enough.
Yeah, I would say so, right? One was enough. If nothing else, and look, sometimes I've investigated cases where patients alleged sexual assault and it wasn't true, but I could tell you what happened. The doctor was immediately taken off of patient care, immediately, and not returned to patient care until we were collectively satisfied that the allegations were untrue. All right. Because anybody can make an allegation at any time. But when you have these, especially numerous allegations like this, could you imagine you're the hospital director, one of your OBGYN gets arrested by the NYPD for sexual assault, and as soon as he gets out of jail that Monday, you put him back in patient care? Can you imagine doing such a thing like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I sound angry, I am angry, because I have seen this so many times throughout the world, and things don't seem to change. And they're not going to change until a couple of things happen. Number one, we need a prosecutor. And look, you know, we've seen how aggressive prosecutors could be, particularly when it comes to the election laws, all right? We've seen how aggressive they could be. How about being that aggressive against managers who allow these crimes to occur?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like to see some of that aggression. I mean, you know, it's okay when it's a political crime, but what about when there are hundreds of victims, and nothing happens with management? Look, we've seen this with the pharmaceutical companies, right?
Yeah.
With oxycodone, with the Statler family. Oh, yeah, they have to pay billions of dollars in fines. And that's terrific. But how about sending somebody to jail when hundreds of thousands of people die and you knew what you were doing was wrong, but nobody goes to jail? So this is what we have to do. First thing we have to do, if the existing laws, and I'm not sure if this is true, but if the existing laws don't allow for the prosecution of these managers, then we have to change the law. Then we just have to change the law and make it a crime. So prosecutors won't have an excuse. Well, I don't know if it's really aiding and abetting. I don't know about this. And besides, they're paying so much money, so why don't we just move on? Well, I don't really want to hear that ever again. And the next thing we have to do is we have to incentivize our whistleblowers. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. If you blow the whistle on financial fraud against the government, there's something called a QI-TAM suit. And this is what a QI-TAM suit is. It means he who sues on behalf of the government, and actually he who sues on behalf of the king and himself. It goes back to English common law. And this is the way it works. If you're working for a firm that has a government contract or receiving government money, like a hospital, and you're aware that they're committing some kind of fraud against the government, we're just talking fraud now, right? Fraud against the government. You get a hold of an attorney and you file what's called a QI-TAM suit. It's known as a whistleblower suit, a secret lawsuit. See, it goes into federal court and you lay out all your allegations, and then the government has the option of doing a criminal investigation, a civil investigation, or no investigation at all. And if the government does an investigation and recovers money, you're entitled to a percentage of all the money that was recovered, plus legal fees. It's a wonderful thing for investigators. It's a great gift to investigators. When I was on the job, I had 7 QI-TAM cases ongoing at once. It was a great gift. But if you're a nurse or a doctor, and you report how another nurse or doctor is harming patients, and there are big civil suits and civil settlements, you don't get a dime. There's no reward for that. You know what the reward is? The reward is keeping your mouth shut.
I was going to say, the reward
is keeping your job.
Shut up or get
that's
fired.
That's the reward. Yeah?
Yeah,
wow.
That's
the reward.
Yeah, there's really no protection. If they do speak out, I mean, yeah, they have whistleblower laws, but I think we all know.
But that's different. That's a whole different arena. Bruce, when we come back, talk more about that, the different kinds of whistleblowers and different sorts of things, because people think if they just speak out that they then are a whistleblower, and I keep trying to explain to people, it's a process. Our guest
is it is a process, and there are some wonderful, if there are any potential whistleblowers out there before you blow the whistle, I would advise you to contact a number of organizations. There's one, I think it's called Whistleblowers of America.
Yep, we've had them on.
Yeah, and they will guide you on what to do and how to do it, because it could be a very slippery slope.
Yeah, you go
Nurse
from...
Aaron, I want to ask you a question, Nurse Aaron. You know,
yeah.
You're making these allegations against Dr. Bruce here. Did you actually see Dr. Bruce harm anybody? Well, you didn't actually see him harm anybody, but, you know, you have reason to believe this. Well, I want to just kind of caution you here, Nurse, that, you know, when you make these allegations, well, you're sort of under investigation yourself, you know? So, I mean, like, is all your training up to snuff? Is all your license and everything kosher? I mean, if I drug tested you today, are you going to drug test positive? You know, I only ask you this for your own protection, Nurse.
Yeah.
just trying to help.
Trying to help you.
Yeah, just trying to help you So, you sure you still want to pursue this? Because if you do, then you might have to testify, and then your background and everything comes into play. You know, I had this case.
Hold that thought, Bruce. We have to take a really quick break.
Sure.
God, we just need to get rid of all the commercials so we can just talk to them for hours. All right. So I was thinking back to the nurse that was killing the babies, and I found a song I thought was fitting. So anyway, I thought we should play it in her honor, maybe. I don't know. It's kind of a weird word.
Probably not honor.
Didn't have anything good there. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Stay away. Look out.
Be Michael Swango. I knew I'd Dick Robert down with that one. Okay, so
the whistleblower.
We were talking about whistleblowers.
Yeah, Whistleblowers of America, good organization, lots of info. Do you have some others that you would recommend?
That's the one that I am most familiar with. Okay. I actually spoke at one of their events, but let's just say a few words about a whistleblower and whistleblowing. You know, it takes a lot of courage to be a whistleblower. And I'll give you an example of some courage. I'll give you a couple examples. One, a number of years ago, there was an article in the New York Times, and it was entitled, "Nurses Criminally Prosecuted for Alleging Physician Wrongdoing." What? Now, I didn't think in the United States of America you could be criminally prosecuted for being a whistleblower.
No kidding.
Oh, I was wrong. I was wrong. You see, there's a place called Kermit, Texas. And Kermit, Texas is in the permanent oil basin in Texas. And it's very hard to find doctors and nurses in a place like that. You know, a lot of people just don't want to resign there. So these two nurses, who happened to be the entire compliance department, they went to management alleging that this physician was harming patients. And management's response was, "What, are you kidding me? Do you know how hard it is to find doctors in Kermit, Texas? Why, we have to go all the way to the Philippines or all the way to Ireland. So you know what? We're lucky we have a doctor here. So you know what, nurses? Just keep your mouth shut.
We're lucky to have a doctor, even though he's killing everybody. That makes a lot of sense.
And just be happy you have a job." So these nurses said, "Well, what the hell do we do now?" And one nurse said, "I have an idea. Let's send an anonymous letter to the Texas State Medical Board about this doctor, all right?" Well, the doctor gets wind of it, and boy, is he pissed. So he calls the local sheriff, who happened to be one of his patients, the sheriff, Robert Roberts, and he says, "Sheriff Roberts, I think these women are intentionally harming my reputation. Do something about it." And the sheriff says, "Don't worry, Doc, I'm on the case." And he gets a search warrant to through their hospital computers.
Oh.
And he discovers that they are the authors of the anonymous letter, the state medical board. He actually has them arrested and charged with misuse of official information, which is a felony in those parts. Well, these nurses get fired. They have to, the hospital does not defend them. They defend the doctor. They have to get their own attorneys, and they wind up in court. And the jury is out for about 20 minutes, and they come back and they say, are you kidding me? These nurses deserve a medal for what they did, not to be criminally prosecuted. Oh, yeah, and they won their case, and they got money. But, you know, what kind of message did that send out to other nurses out there who were considering whistleblowing? Hey, did you hear about those two nurses in Texas? Did you hear what happened to them? Oh, yeah, they eventually won. Do you want to go through all that? Do you want to be arrested? Do you want to go to trial and hope that you win? So, you know what? I don't think so. I think it's best if we just quietly go on with our jobs and not say anything. In the Nurse Kristen Gilbert case, if you remember Nurse Kristen Gilbert, she was convicted of killing a number of our nation's heroes at the Northampton VA Medical Center. And how did we find out about it? Well, not through management. I know that's not going to come as a surprise to you. We found out about it. You know, we found out about it from some nurse whistleblowers who were very, very courageous, who went to management. Management poo-pooed what they said, and they came to my office. But you know what? These whistleblowers, they're human beings. They have issues. Some of them had drug problems. Some of them had other issues. Stuff that is very, very embarrassing that you have to reveal in court. But you know what? They were so courageous that when we went to trial, they had to disclose their human frailties. They had to disclose their own issues when they were testifying against Kristen Gilbert. Well, she was convicted of murdering a number of our patients, a number of our nation's heroes at the Northampton VA Medical Center. And when the whistleblowers returned to work, you think they were greeted as heroes? Nope. Just the opposite. Their coworkers would say to them, what the heck did you do? You know, this hospital used to have the best reputation. People used to drive by this VA hospital and say, what an excellent hospital that is. Now, you know what they say? I wouldn't go there. That's where that serial killer, Kristen Gilbert, worked. We hate you for what you did, Nurse Whistleblower. This is the reality of the situation.
And that just makes no sense.
One of the reasons,
it does happen, though.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why my medical serial killers or medical serial sexual assault physicians get away with killing or harming so many people. All right? Because the whistleblowers are afraid to come forth. Management does nothing. You know, your average, if there is such an average, I don't know, serial killer maybe kills 6 or 7 people. Well, they're amateurs compared to my medical serial killer. The average kills somewhere between 30 and 60. I mean, we talked about Niles Hogel, who killed over 100. Harold Shipman in England killed 300 people. Swango, maybe 60 people. Nurse Cullen, maybe 60. You know, they kill so many people. They can't remember themselves how many people they kill. But why do we have to have so many victims, whether it be these sexual assault cases or these actual murders? Why do we have to have so many victims until something happens? And in my opinion, until the system changes, until we start prosecuting managers and doing better protection of our whistleblowers, we'll have this conversation a couple of times a year.
Why do you think it's so difficult to prosecute a hospital manager when the evidence is so strong that they, you know, pass these people over to other hospitals and so forth? Why is it so hard to prosecute them?
Yeah.
You know, That is an excellent, excellent question. And I could tell you what I usually hear from the prosecutors. That it's not really sufficient evidence to prove that they aided and abetted these murders. All right? And that the law is such, and I'm not an attorney, but the law is such that it makes it difficult for the prosecutors to go forth on charges like that. And if that's true, I don't know if it is, but if it is true, then let's change the law.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Let's change the law. So then they won't have that excuse. So I won't hear anymore, well, Bruce, you know, I understand what you're saying, but we really not confident that we could prove this. And they say, look, remember in Germany, they tried it in Germany, it didn't work in Germany. Well, the law in Germany is different. I don't really know the law in Germany. But I can tell you this, if that's the case, and it may well be, well, then the simple solution is to change the law, because until you hold management, corporate executives, whether it be a pharmaceutical company, whether it be a hospital management, a nursing home management, until you hold these people criminally liable, there's no incentive for them to cooperate. There's no incentive for them to call the police. There's no incentive for them to disclose all their internal investigation, even under subpoena, to the police. It's time for a change. It really is.
Really,
how many
is.
More people have to die? How many more women have to be sexually assaulted? I mean, really.
Well, you look at a lot of other occupations, and for far less misuse or misreporting, people are sued and criminally charged all the time. I mean, for a lot less. You know, if you work in a bar and you overserve somebody and they go out and kill somebody, you're prosecuted. I mean, there's a lot of cases of that sort of thing that you get prosecuted for.
That's a great point.
Yeah, why is this
medical?
But
I'll answer your question. Why? Because a bar is not a hospital, and a hospital has a lot of political power.
Yeah.
Columbia in Manhattan, one of the most prestigious hospitals in Manhattan, they have incredible political and financial power. You know, a bar owner, he can't go out and hire the very best law firms in the city to defend him. Oh, Columbia certainly could.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have endowments of millions and millions of dollars. I remember one hospital I was working for in Manhattan, and they were trying to raise money for a department, and they said, oh, we need like another $1 million. And the fundraiser said, oh, that's not a problem. I can raise that for you in a week with a dinner. Like,
wow.
like nothing.
Wow.
Like it was nothing. And you know what? Oh, a lot of powerful people have their families go to these hospitals. Sometimes the hospitals have saved their lives. You know, sometimes the hospitals have just performed miracles for their families. And now you're asking them to prosecute the managers. It's politically very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult. And that's one of the reasons why it's never happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't overlook the fact that hospitals do save thousands, I mean, millions of people. I mean, they treat people every day and cure them. And,
they did.
And, you know, do a lot of good. But,
of course.
Fellas, we're getting cut off by the news, but we're going to come back with our guest, Bruce Sackman. He's going to be here at the second hour. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.